بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our 14th session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Dr. Fahd Abd Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. We're going to be reading from Book 1, Lesson 9. Today, inshallah, we're going to be working with Lesson 9. Before we start, let me just say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to Hanif Abdul Karim and Abdul Wali Salam. MashaAllah, it's been a long time since we've seen one another. MashaAllah, it's good to see you with us online today. I don't normally mention people's names, but since there's only a couple of people online right now, it's easy for me to mention their names. Okay, so today, as I mentioned, today we're going to be doing lesson number 9. And I'll just remind us that last week, we did do the English key and the Arabic text for lesson number 9. Because we ran out of time in reference to the exercises, so we're going to start with the exercises that we left off from the first half of lesson 9, inshallah, today. Okay, I don't know, let's see. Long start. Yeah, okay. All right, so last week we covered the first, the Arabic, the English key and the vocabulary and the Arabic text for the first part, part A of lesson number 9. And we stopped at the exercises, exercises 1, 2, 3, and 4 on pages 48 and 49. So, inshallah, today, inshallah, we're going to try to do those four exercises. And then we're going to go to what was really scheduled for this week, that is the second part of Lesson 9. So we're going to do the English key and the vocabulary for Part B of Lesson 9 on pages 23 and 24. We're going to do the Arabic text on pages 50 and 51. And we're going to do the three exercises that follow. Exercises 1, 2, and 3 on pages 51, 52, and 53. And look at the vocabulary at the end of the lesson. Inshallah, hopefully we'll be able to cover all of the exercises for this lesson today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. If we don't cover them, no problem, but this is what we have in the plan for today. So all of that, either we had those first four exercises from Part A for homework a week ago, and then for this week's homework we should have reviewed those exercises, and in addition we should have done the second part of this Lesson 9, Part B, English Key, Vocabulary, Arabic Text, and three exercises. Alright, so let's get started. Before we start with the exercises, I just want to make a quick review. And when I say quick, I mean a quick review, summary review of the first part of lesson number 9, that is the English key for the first part of lesson 9. Okay, so there are actually 2 points in the first part of the English key for lesson number 9 on pages 21 and 22. And I'm going to summarize those 2 points. The first point is that in Arabic the adjective follows the noun. So today we're going to be talking about we're going to be doing exercises related to adjectives in Arabic. Okay, so the adjective in Arabic follows the noun. It comes after the noun that it qualifies, unlike English where the adjective comes first. So in Arabic, if you want to say a new house, new is the adjective, it comes first. In Arabic, the adjective is going to follow the noun that is qualifying, so the meaning of it is going to be a house, that is new, baytun jadidun. So this is the first point related to the adjective, that the adjective in Arabic follows the noun, it comes after it in the sentence. The second thing, the adjective in Arabic is called na'tun, okay, and the noun that it qualifies or the word that it's describing is called man'utun. So these two words are mandatory that you learn them. Not and man'ut. The na'at is the adjective, and the man'ut is the word that it qualifies or that it describes. Okay, the next point is that the adjective is in agreement with the noun. Yani, it follows the noun in the sentence, and it also follows it in four matters. In this lesson, we're going to look at three of them. Gender, yani being masculine or feminine. Definiteness or indefiniteness, being the noun being definite or indefinite. And also in the case, yani the i'rab. Is it marfu'un or mansubun or majrur? Okay? The last matter, the fourth matter, is in number. Is it singular, dual, or plural? We're not going to look at that in this particular lesson. So these three matters, it's mandatory that you remember that whenever you use an adjective to describe a noun, you have to make sure you look at that noun, which is called the man'ut, the word being qualified or described. You're going to look at that noun and see, number one, is it masculine or feminine? Because you have to make the adjective agree with it. You're going to look at it and see, is it definite or indefinite? To make sure that the adjective, yani, agrees with that. And you have to look at its case, its i'rab. Is it marfu'un with dhamma, majrurun with kasra, or mansubun with fatha? Okay, these are the three things that we're going to be looking at in this lesson. In the first half of the lesson, we're going to see adjectives that are going to agree with the noun that it qualifies. The na'at is going to agree with the man'ut in reference to gender, it being masculine, mudhakkar, or feminine, mu'annath. As far as being definite or indefinite, or the case ending, we're going to see that in the second part of this lesson, part B. We're going to see examples of that in the second part. In the first part, we're just going to see adjectives that we're going to have to make sure it's in agreement with the man'ut in gender, in being masculine or feminine. The second part, the second point of this lesson is that point number two, adjectives ending in ana, yani fatha alif noon, have no tanween. They don't take tanween. Okay, so if they are marfu, they're going to have a single dhamma, not a double dhamma, because they don't take tanween. Okay, so this is called mamnu' min as-sarf. Yani words that are mamnu' min as-sarf don't take tanween, and if they are majrur, instead of taking kasra, they take fatha. Okay, so these are the two points of this lesson, the na'at and the man'ut, and the adjectives that end with an extra aleph and noon, in addition to the three root letters, the three root letters of the word. There's going to be, yani, certain adjectives that have an extra two letters, aleph and noon, added on the end of them, like kaslan and jaw'an and atashan and ghadban and so on. They end with an, yani that ending on an adjective indicates that the adjective is mamnu' min as-sarf and it doesn't take tanween. Okay, that's what yani I wanted to quickly review with us concerning the English key for the first part of lesson 9. Okay, after that, we're going to go straight to the exercises for lesson number 9. We're going to go straight to the exercises, starting on page 48. Starting on page 48. The exercises, starting on page 48. Alright, so let's please everybody turn to the Arabic text we read already and the vocabulary we reviewed last week. So we're going to skip that and go right to the exercises. 1, 2, 3, and 4 on pages 48 and 49. These exercises we had for homework the previous week, and this week we had them again for homework just as a review as we go on to the second part of the lesson. So everybody should have already written out these exercises, completed them yani a week ago, and inshallah I had a chance to review them again this week. Okay, let's look at the first exercise on page 48. The exercise instruction says ikra waktub. Ikra waktub, yani meaning read and write. Read and write. So this exercise requires you to read all of these examples, and it requires you to write them out in your notebook. And again, every exercise should be written out, even if they don't require you to write it out, just for you to be practicing. And it also requires for you to translate it, okay, to translate the meaning of these sentences, because that is, yani, one of the main objectives, that when we read, that we understand what we're reading. So translation is also a part of the exercise. Okay, so we're going to read the sentences, keeping in mind that the purpose of this exercise is for us to look at the relationship between the adjective and the noun that it is qualifying. Okay, the adjective called not, and the noun that is qualifying called the man'ut. Keeping in mind that the not, the adjective, is going to follow the man'ut. And it's also going to be in agreement with it. It's going to follow its i'rab of being marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. It's going to follow it being definite or indefinite, having alif lam or tanween. And it's also going to follow it in terms of it being yani masculine or feminine. In this first part of the lesson, we're mainly looking at the man'ut. If it is masculine, we have to make the not masculine. If it is feminine, we have to make the not feminine. As far as it being definite or indefinite with alif lam or tanween and the i'rab, we're going to be looking at that more in the second part of this lesson. Okay, so let's read. And if I pause a little bit, that's for you to read ahead of me, or for you to translate the sentence that we're reading, so that you are engaged in the exercise along with me, in addition to checking the answers that you have already given, and if you have already translated it, to make sure you've translated it correctly. طيب. اقرأ واكتب. Sentence number one says, محمد طالب قديم. محمد طالب قديم. Meaning, Muhammad is طالب, a student, قديم, an old student. Muhammad is an old student. Okay, just quickly as a reminder to us as we're going through these sentences, the jumla ismiya is composed of two essential parts, mubtada and khabar, subject and predicate. Muhammad is the mubtada, the subject, and talibun is the khabar, the predicate. Okay, Muhammad is the subject that we want to talk about. Talibun is what we want to say about him. He's a student. And qadimun is the not, an adjective describing or qualifying talib. What kind of talib? An old student. Okay, so when we look at these sentences, please look at them. Jumla ismiya, there should be a mubtada, that's the subject that we want to talk about, and there should be a khabar, the predicate, what we want to say about it. And then in this exercise, we're going to see a third word, that is the not, the adjective that's describing either of those two words. Either it's going to be describing the mubtada, the subject, or it's going to be describing the khabar, the predicate. Okay, the adjective may be describing either one of them. Okay, so let's please try to pay attention to that and keep that in mind as we're translating these sentences. Again, sentence number one, Muhammadun. Muhammad is talibun, a student. What kind of student? Qadimun. Qadimun is the adjective, the not, and talibun is the man'ut. And we see that talibun is masculine, mudhakkar. So qadimun is also masculine, mudhakkar. Sentence number two. أذلك الرجل مدرس جديد. أذلك الرجل, يعني ذلك الرجل, this is a بدل construction, right? اسم إشارة followed by a noun with ألف لام. So ذلك الرجل does not mean that is the man. It means that man. That man. Hamza in the beginning, Hamza til istifham, the Hamza with fatta in the beginning changes a statement into a question. So ذلك الرجل, that man, it became أذلك الرجل, is that man مدرس, a teacher, جديد, new, a new teacher, is that man a new teacher. Okay, so ذلك is the مبتدأ, الرجل is the بدل, مدرس is the خبر. يعني what we want to say about that man is that he's a مدرس. And جديد is the not that's qualifying مدرس. What kind of مدرس? A new teacher. Again, the question, أذلك الرجل مدرس جديد, is that man a new teacher? Answer, go straight across to the answer, لا, هو طبيب جديد. And is that man a new مدرس? No, he is a new طبيب. لا, هو طبيب جديد. He is a طبيب. What kind of طبيب? جديد, a new doctor. Okay, again, in this sentence, هو is the مبتدا, that's the subject, and طبيب is the خبر, what we want to say about him. He is what? He is a doctor. جديد is the not qualifying what kind of doctor? A new doctor. I hope this type of sentence structure is clear to us by now, because we've been studying this lesson for 2 weeks now, and everybody should know what is the not, and what is the man'ut. And we've been talking about the jumla ismiya for some weeks now, so everybody should know what is a mubtada and what is a khabar. Mubtada is the subject of the sentence. And then, after that, we have the predicate, yani the khabar, what we want to say about the subject. And now we are learning in this lesson that we may have a third word, which is an adjective, and not describing either the mubtada or the khabar. It may describe the mubtada, it may describe the khabar. Here in this particular sentence, mudarrisun is the khabar, so jadidun is a not, which is qualifying the khabar. But we'll see in other sentences that sometimes even the mubtada may be qualified by a not. Sentence number 3. Hada darsun sahlun. Hada darsun sahlun. This is a dars. This is a lesson. What kind of lesson? Sahlun, an easy lesson. This is an easy lesson. Again, hada is the mubtada, the subject. And what we want to say about it? It is a dars. It's a lesson. What kind of lesson? The not sahlun tells us what kind of dars it is. An easy dars. Easy lesson. Hada darsun sahlun. Mubtada, khabar, not. Again, the khabar here is the man'ut, the word that's being qualified. It's mudhakkar. Therefore, the not describing it, sahlun, also is mudhakkar. Going across, number 4. Abbasun tajirun shahirun. Abbasun tajirun shahirun. Yani the meaning? Abbas is a what? A tajir, a merchant. What kind of merchant? Shahirun, a famous merchant. Abbas is a famous merchant. Abbas is the mubtada, the subject. What do we want to say about him? He's a tajir. That's the khabar. What kind of tajir? Shahirun, a famous tajir, a famous merchant. Abbasun is the mubtada, tajirun is the khabar, shahirun is the not. Okay? Tajirun is mudhakkar, so the adjective describing it also has to be mudhakkar. Number 5. Bilalun muhandisun kabirun. Remember, the masculine proper noun takes tanween. So Bilalun should be read with tanween. Bilalun muhandisun kabirun. Yani Bilal is a what? A muhandis, an engineer. What kind of engineer? Kabirun, a big engineer or a great engineer. Bilalun is the mubtada, muhandisun is the khabar. What we want to say about Bilal, that he's an engineer. Kabirun is the not qualifying the khabar, qualifying muhandis. What kind of muhandis? Yani a great muhandis or a big muhandis. Muhandisun kabirun. Muhandis is the man'ut. It's yani, it's masculine mudhakkar, so kabirun also has to be masculine mudhakkar. Also, we can see here, although we're going to see all of the yani, the all of the man'ut in these sentences are going to be marfu'un in this part of the lesson, but also we should note that if the man'ut is marfu'un, the khabar also has to be marfu'un. In this part of the lesson, they're going to all be marfu'un. In the second part of the lesson, we're going to see that the man'ut may be majroor, in which case we have to make sure we make the adjective, the not, also majroor. Okay, going across, number 6. Al-inkiliziyatu, with shadda on the ya, next to the last letter, shadda on the ya. Al-inkiliziyatu, lugatun sa'batun. Lugatun sa'batun. Al-inkiliziyah, English, is what? Lugatun, a language. What kind of language? Sa'batun, a difficult language. Okay, al-inkiliziyatu is the mubtada, lugatun is the khabar, and sa'abun is the not describing it. Notice that lugatun is feminine, mu'annath, and therefore we have to make the adjective describing it also feminine, mu'annath. Sa'abatun, yani the original word sa'abun is the masculine form. You add ta marbuta preceded by fatta, becomes feminine. Sa'abatun. Kabirun, kabiratun. Saghirun, saghiratun. Like this. Remember, this is what we learned in lesson 6. How to make the noun or the adjective feminine by adding ta marbuta preceded by fatta on the original last letter of the word. Okay, al-inkiliziyatu, English, is a luga. What kind of luga? Sa'aba. Lugatun sa'abatun. English is a difficult language. English is the subject. Luga is the predicate. Sa'ab is the adjective. Mubtada, khabar, na'at. Number 7. أأنت رجل غني؟ أأنت رجل غني؟ Meaning, are you a man? What kind of man? Rich. Are you a rich man? Again, the Hamza til istifham, the Hamza with Fatha in the beginning of this sentence, is the Hamza that's used to make a statement into a question. So without that Hamza, we would have Anta Rajulun Ghaniyun. You are a rich man. But once we put Hamza in the beginning of it, it changes that statement, you are a rich man, to a question. Are you a rich man? Okay, Anta is the Mubtada, Rajulun is the Khabar. And Ghaniyun is the Naat describing Rajulun. Rajulun is Mudhakkar, masculine. Ghaniyun has to also be Mudhakkar, masculine. The answer to this question going across, are you a rich man? La. Stop. Ana rajulun faqirun. I am a, what kind of man? Faqirun. Opposite of ghaniyun, faqirun. Poor. I am a poor man. Ana is the mubtada, rajulun is the khabar, and faqirun is the na'at, qualifying what kind of rajul he is. He is what kind of rajul? Faqirun, a poor man. Notice that rajulun is masculine, and therefore faqirun is also masculine. Number 8, going down. Al-Qahiratu madinatun kabiratun. Al-Qahiratu madinatun kabiratun. Al-Qahira, that's the city, famous city in Egypt. Al-Qahira, in English they say Cairo. Al-Qahira is what? A Medina, a city. Madinatun. What kind of city? Kabiratun, a big, great city. Okay, Al-Qahira is the Mubtada, Medina is the Khabar. That's a complete sentence. Al-Qahira Madinatun. Cairo is a city. But now I want to qualify what kind of city. So I bring an adjective saying what kind of Medina is it? Kabira, a big city. Again, here Madinatun, the man'ut, the word being qualified, is mu'annath, feminine. And therefore, the adjective describing it also has to be mu'annath, kabiratun, with ta marbuta. Okay, whenever the man'ut is feminine, the na'at describing it also has to be feminine. Going across, number 9. A'anta mudarrisun qadimun? A'anta mudarrisun qadimun? Are you a mudarris, a teacher? What kind of teacher? Qadimun, are you an old teacher? Again, the statement, Anta mudarrisun qadimun, you are an old teacher, becomes a question with hamzatul istifham. The hamza with fatah at the beginning of the sentence changes the statement into a question. A anta, are you mudarrisun, a teacher? Qadimun, an old teacher. Mudarrisun, mudarrisun is masculine, mudhakkaru, mudhakkarun. And therefore, qadimun has to be masculine, mudhakkarun. The answer is right underneath that question. La. Are you an old teacher? La. Stop. That's a period there. Stop. La. Ana mudarrisun jadidun. I am a mudarris jadid. A what? New mudarris. A new teacher. Going down to number 10. Back to the right column. Ahamidun talibun kaslanu. Okay, we see the hamza in the beginning. That's a question, right? Hamidun talibun kaslanu. Hamid is a lazy student. But now it became a question. Ahamidun. Is Hamid a talibun, a student? Kaslanu, lazy. Is he a lazy student? Okay. Hamidun here is the mubtada. The mubtada is always marfu'un. Talibun is the khabar. Khabar is always marfu'un. Kaslanun is a na'at. It has to agree with the word that is qualifying. So talibun, the man'ut, is marfu'un. So kaslanu also is marfu'un. Talibun is mudhakkar, masculine. So kaslan has to also be مذكر, masculine. The strange thing in this sentence here that I hope you paid attention to is that طالبٌ has تنوين and كسلان does not have تنوين. And the reason for that, even though كسلان is indefinite like طالبٌ, because remember we said in the second part of this lesson we're going to see words that are definite and indefinite being qualified by a noun that has to agree with them in being definite or indefinite. But here in this particular example, I want you to pay attention to the fact that طالبٌ is indefinite and كسلانٌ is also indefinite, but it doesn't have تنوين because of what? It doesn't have تنوين because it ends with, it's an adjective that ends with the extra two letters, Aleph and Noon. Yani the original root of this letter is Kaf, Seen, and Lam. And there are two extra letters. We said that when an adjective has these two extra letters added to the end, this pattern is يعني an adjective that is called ممنوع من الصرف, meaning doesn't take تنوين, can't take تنوين. Okay, so that's why يعني even though طالبٌ has تنوين, كسلان doesn't have تنوين because it's ممنوع من الصرف, doesn't take تنوين. Okay, again the question, حامدٌ طالبٌ كسلان, is حامد a lazy student? The answer, لا, هو طالبٌ مجتهدٌ. هو طالب مجتهد. No, he is not a lazy student. هو طالب مجتهد. He is a مجتهد طالب. A what? Diligent, hard-working student. Diligent, hard-working student. Okay, let's turn to page 49. The second exercise at the top of page 49. Second exercise, top of page 49. The instruction says, ضع في الفراغ في الجمل الآتية نعتا مناسبا. ضع means put. في in الفراغ, the empty space or the blank space. في الجمل الآتية, in the following sentences. Put in the blank space in the following sentences. نعتا, a knot, an adjective. مناسباً, that is suitable or appropriate. That makes sense there. Okay, that's suitable or appropriate. Put in the blank space in the following sentences, a not. So they're going to give you a مبتدأ and a خبر, and then they want you to describe, to qualify that خبر with a not. Keeping in mind that if the منعوت is masculine, you have to make the not masculine. If the منعوت is feminine with تاء مربوطة, then you have to make the not also feminine with ta marbuta. Now, let me just note here that in the future we will learn that there's more than one sign of a word being feminine. But the primary sign of a word being feminine is that it has ta marbuta. Later on we'll see that there are some other signs. We'll talk about them yani when we come to them yani in future levels. For now, the sign of a word being feminine, if there's a sign, it's going to be ta marbuta. There are some words like some feminine proper nouns that do not have termabuta, but we know that they are female names, therefore they are feminine. Even without termabuta, the not describing them has to be made feminine with termabuta. Okay, sentence number one. Fill in the space with a not that appropriately or suitably qualifies the khabar that they gave us in these sentences. They gave us a mubtada and they gave us a khabar, and they want us to bring an appropriate, suitable not to qualify that man'ut, which in these sentences is going to be the khabar. Okay, sentence number one. Khadijatu talibatun. Talibatun. Khadija is a female student. What kind of female student? Mujtahidatun. Mujtahidatun with ta marbuta. Talibatun is feminine, so the adjective describing it also has to be feminine. Mujtahidatun. Going across, number two. Yani, Khadija is a diligent female student. Number two. Khalidun tajirun ghaniyun. Yani, the word that I put in the blank is ghaniyun. I could have put tajirun faqirun because some merchants could be poor. It's possible. Naam. But generally, merchants are going to be people making money. So, tajirun ghaniyun. Yani, Khalid is the mubtada, tajir is the khabar. What I want to say about Khalid, he's a merchant. And now I want to describe what kind of merchant? غَنِيٌ. Khalid is a rich merchant. Tajirun here is the man'ut. It's masculine, mudhakkar. Therefore, the not describing it has to also be masculine, mudhakkar. Number three. Al-Arabiyyatu lugatun sahlatun. Al-Arabiyyatu lugatun sahlatun. Yani, Al-Arabiyya, Arabic, is a luga, a language. What kind of language? An easy language, sahlatun. Okay, lugatun is feminine, mu'annath. Therefore, the adjective describing it, sahlatun, has to be feminine, mu'annath. Number four. Al-usfuru, with ayn and saad. Al-usfuru, ta'irun. The usfur, yani the sparrow, is a bird. What kind of bird? Small bird. صغيرٌ. طائرٌ صغيرٌ. طائرٌ is the man'ut, the word being described or qualified. It's masculine, therefore the adjective describing it also has to be masculine. Number five. التفاحُ فاكهةٌ لذيذةٌ. التفاحُ means the apple. Apples are fakiha, a fruit. What kind of fruit? Ladhidhatun. Fakiha is the man'ut, the word being qualified. It's feminine, mu'annath. Therefore, the adjective thanat describing it also has to be mu'annath, feminine, with ta marbuta. Apples are a delicious fruit. Number six. Ana mudarrisun jadidun. Ana mudarrisun jadidun. I am a teacher. That's a complete sentence. Mubtada al khabar. Subject and predicate. I am a teacher, but I want to describe that teacher, so I come with the not, which has to follow it and also has to agree with it in four matters. Three of them we're taking in this lesson. The first part of the lesson we're just looking at the not being masculine or feminine, like the man'ut. So the man'ut, mudarrisun, is masculine. So the not, jadidun, also is masculine. Number seven. Muhammadun tabibun. That's a complete sentence. Mubtada al khabar. Muhammad is a tabib. What kind of tabib? Shahirun. Muhammadun, mubtada, tabibun, khabar, shahirun, na'at. Tabibun is the man'ut. It's masculine. So shahirun also has to be masculine. Muhammad is a famous doctor. Number eight. Al-Inkiliziyatu lugatun. Remember, the word Al-Inkiliziyatu has a shadda on the next to the last letter, the ya. Al-Inkiliziyatu lugatun. English is a language. What kind of language? Sa'abatun. Sa'abatun. A difficult language. English is a difficult language. Al-Inkiliziyatu is the mubtada. The mubtada is always marfoon with dhamma. Lugatun is the khabar. The khabar is always marfoon with dhamma. And sa'ab is a not. It has to agree with the man'ut. Luga is feminine. So sa'abatun also has to end with tarmabuta being feminine. And luga is marfoon. Lugatun, marfoon with dhamma. Sa'abatun is also marfu'un with dhamma. We're going to be looking at the changing of the i'rab in the second part of this lesson. In this lesson, all of the words being qualified are going to be marfu'un. But in the next lesson, we'll see some words being qualified being majrur. So we have to make sure that we make the not also agree with it in its i'rab of being marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. In addition to it being yani in agreement with it in gender, masculine and feminine, that we are looking at in this part of the lesson. And in the next part of the lesson, we also have to pay attention to the man'ut, the word being qualified. Is it definite or indefinite? Definite or indefinite. Okay, let's go to the next sentence, number nine. أَأَنْتَ طَالِبٌ قَدِيمٌ. Yani you could have put طَالِبٌ جَدِيدٌ or طَالِبٌ مُجْتَهِدٌ or talibun kaslanu, but anyway I put qadim here. A anta talibun qadimun. Are you an old student? Again, anta is the mubtada, talibun is the khabar, qadimun is the naat. The naat has to agree with the man'ut in four matters. Three of them we're taking in this lesson. Right now we're just looking at masculine and feminine. Talibun is masculine, qadimun is masculine. Number 10. Al-qahiratu madinatun qadimatun. Al-qahiratu means Cairo, is a Medina, a city. What kind of city? An old city. We could have said Madinatun Kabiratun, Madinatun Wasiatun. We could have used different words, but here, yani we're just keeping it simple. Al-Qahiratu Madinatun Qadimatun. Cairo is an old city. Al-Qahiratu is the Mubtada. It's Marfu'un with Dhamma. Madinatun is the khabar. Remember the mubtada and the khabar, the two essential parts of the jumla ismiya, the nominal sentence. These two essential parts are always marfu'un, taking a single or a double dhamma, depending on what it requires in that particular sentence. But it's always going to be marfu'un. And the primary sign of a word being marfu'un is dhamma. There are secondary signs. We're not going to look at them at this time. We'll see them in the future. For now, the sign of a word being marfu'un is going to be dhamma, single, or a double dhamma tanween. Al-Qahiratu is the mubtada, Madinatun is the khabar, and Qadimatun is the na'at. And the na'at has to follow the word that is qualifying in the sentence, and it also has to follow it in being masculine or feminine, and being yani marfu'un or majrurun, and in being yani definite or indefinite. And we'll see those other two situations. The fourth one, the number, we're not going to see in this lesson at all, yani being singular, dual, or plural. But we're going to look at yani being masculine or feminine for now, and then the second part of the lesson we're going to look at whether or not it's definite or indefinite, marfu'un or majrurun, and so on. Al-Qahiratu Madinatun Qadimatun. Cairo is an old city. Okay, let's go on to the exercise number 3. We're still on page 49, lesson 9. We're dealing with naat and man'ut, yani the adjective and the word that it qualifies. The adjective has to follow it in the sentence, and it also has to follow it in four matters. In this lesson, we're looking at three of them: whether the word is feminine or masculine, whether it is definite or indefinite, and whether it is marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. Exercise number 3. The instruction says, ضَعَ فِي الْمَكَانِ الْخَالِ في الجمل الآتية منعوتا مناسبا. Okay, there are two things different in this instruction from the previous instruction. The previous instruction said ضع في الفراغ, and this one says ضع في المكان الخالي. So الفراغ means a blank or empty space, and المكان الخالي means also an empty space. مكان means a place, خالي means it's empty, it's void, there's nothing there. Okay, so these are two expressions that refer to the same thing. الفراغ means a blank space or an empty space, and المكان الخالي also means an empty place or empty space. So these are two different expressions used to refer to the same thing. This is part of the lesson that you learn different words, different ways of describing the same thing. The second thing that's different here, in the previous exercise, it says, put in the empty space in the sentences that follow a na'atan munasiban. Here it says, put a man'utan munasiban. So in the previous exercise, we had to put in the adjective. In this one, we have to put in the man'ut, the word that's being qualified. They give you the adjective, and they want you to put an appropriate word that that adjective could be describing or qualifying. Okay, so they give you the mubtada. You have to put in the khabar that has to be appropriate for the naat that they gave you. Okay, they gave us the mubtada, and they gave us a naat to describe the khabar, and we have to put in an appropriate, yani man'utan munasiban, an appropriate qualified word, a word that's going to be qualified. It's going to be the khabar, but it's also going to be yani a man'ut, because it's being qualified by the naat that they have given us. Okay, they've given us the adjective. They want us to bring the word that that adjective is going to be qualifying. Okay, I'm going to read the sentence straight through with the word that I filled in the blank with. Al-Arabiyyatu lugatun sahlatun. Yani Arabic is an easy language. Okay, sahlatun is feminine, so we know that the man'ut that we put here has to be a feminine word. Okay? Because they're not, if it's feminine, that means it's qualifying a feminine word. So we're going to put here, yani we're not going to put darsun sahlatun, because sahlatun is feminine and dars is masculine. So we're going to put a feminine word, lugatun sahlatun. Arabic is an easy language. Going across, number two, ana talibun qadimun. Okay, qadimun is the not, it's masculine, mudhakkar. Therefore, we have to put a man'ut, a word that it's going to qualify that also has to be masculine, mudhakkar. Okay? Ana is the mubtada, talibun that I filled in is the khabar, and qadimun is the not describing it. Ana talibun qadimun, I am an old student. Number three. Ammarun tajirun ghaniyun. Ammarun tajirun ghaniyun. Ammar is a tajir, a merchant. What kind of merchant? Ghaniyun, rich merchant. Okay, ghaniyun is masculine, so we know that the word that it qualifies has to be a masculine word. Okay, we can't say ammarun, yani feminine word, ghaniyun, but it has to be a masculine word that's being qualified by the masculine. Not ghaniyun, tajirun ghaniyun. Going across, number four. Hada qalamun maqsurun. This is a broken pen. Maqsurun is the not, it's masculine, so the word that is going to qualify it has to have been a masculine word. So we put, yani, qalamun, masculine, maqsurun, masculine. It's agreeing in being masculine or feminine, in this case masculine. Hada is the mubtada. Qalamun is the khabar, marfu'un with dhamma, and maqsurun is the not. It also has to be, yani, not only masculine like the man'ut, it has to agree with it in its case ending, its i'rab of being marfu'un in the nominative case taking dhamma. Number five, fayusalun with sa'ad, fayusalun talibun kaslanu, talibun kaslanu. Yani fayusal, that's a man's name. He is, yani, a lazy student, kaslanu. Okay, kaslan is masculine. The feminine form is kasla without the noon. But we're not looking at that now. But we're just saying that kaslan, it is a masculine noun, yani, adjective. So we know that the man'ut, the word that is qualifying, has to be masculine. Talibun kaslanu. Again, talibun has tanween, it's indefinite. We're going to be looking at that in the next part of the lesson, definite and indefiniteness. But I'm only mentioning this because talibun is indefinite and kaslanun is also indefinite, except that kaslanun doesn't have the tanween. And the reason why it doesn't have tanween is because it's an adjective that, in addition to its primary, yani, basic triliteral root, kaf, seen, lam, has two extra letters. And adjectives that have these two extra letters, alif and noon, are classified as mamnu' min sarf. That means they're words that, number one, do not take tanween, and number two, as we'll see when we study this later on in detail at the end of the book, we'll see that also, when they are majrur, they don't take kasra. So they don't make the full changes of normal nouns. That's why they say they are mamnu' min sarf, yani they are prohibited from making all of the changes that a normal noun goes through, yani changing from dhamma to kasra to fatha. Rather, they only take dhamma and fatha, and they don't take tanween. Faisalun, talibun, kaslanu. Faisal is a lazy student. Okay, let's go to exercise number four. It's a reading exercise. Again, I encourage you to please write out all the exercises. The instruction says ikra. Okay, so all they're requiring you is to read it. But of course, everything that we read, we must also translate, because that's the point, right? That we want to understand what we are reading, okay? And I say also, yani, as much as you can, try to write out the exercises for practice to improve your writing. These words, all of the words in this exercise that are of any significance that we want to pay attention to, all of them have this ending of alif noon. So they are adjectives that are from the category of words that are mamnu min sarf, that is, they don't take tanween. So pay attention that these words, kaslanu, meaning what? Lazy. Jawanu, meaning what? Hungry. Atashanu, meaning thirsty. Ghadbanu, meaning angry. Mal'anu, meaning full. Yani like a container that's full or a glass that's full. Notice that this word mal'an, yani has meem fatta, lam with sukoon, and aleph, yani with the little med written above it, that means that it's elongated. That represents, the aleph with that little wiggly line above it, represents two alephs. The first one has hamza with fatta, and the second one is an aleph that's elongating the fatta of the hamza. Okay? So this means what? That this letter with the wiggly line is equal to an aleph as a seat for hamza with fatta. Ah. And then followed by another aleph that's elongating that fatta. Ah. And that's why we pronounce it mal'anu. Because it's a hamza with fatta elongated by aleph. Instead of two alephs, one the seat for hamza and the other one elongating the fatta. Instead of two alephs, then for short they write one aleph with the wiggly line. That's what it means. Hamza fatta, ah, elongated by aleph. So we pronounce it mal'anu, means full. Something is full. The container is full. Okay, these five words are all adjectives that end with aleph and noon that are extra in addition to their triliteral root. They're three main root letters. Therefore, yani adjectives with this special extra ending are mamnu min as-sarf. So please do not put tanween on these words. Okay, let's read. Exercise number four, sentence number one. Ana, huh? Jaw'anu, with a single dhamma. Meaning, I am jaw'an. Means what? Jaw'an, hungry. Number two. A'anta jaw'anu. Meaning, are you, anta. Second person, masculine, singular, anta. A'anta jaw'anu, are you hungry? Answer, la. Ana atashanu, no, I am atashanu, meaning I am thirsty, not hungry, I am thirsty. Number three, limadha al-mudarrisu ghadabanu al-yawma. Notice al-yawma has fatta on the end, not dhamma. Okay, so the word al-yawm, if it has dhamma, then it's, the meaning is going to be the same. It's the same word, but its usage in the sentence is going to be different. Here it has fatta. So that means that this is a word that's describing the time of something happening. When was the teacher ghadban? Today. Okay, so the words that describe the time when something is happening are called, yani, dharf az-zaman. Dharf az-zaman. Yani, an adverb of time. It indicates the time when this thing is taking place. Dharf az-zaman. Zaman means time. As opposed to dharf al-makan. Yani, makan means place. So there's adverb of place that indicates the place of something in front of, behind of, above, below. And there's adverb of time, yani, indicating the time when something is happening. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, and so on. So the adverb of time comes under the category of maf'ulun fihi. Yani the maf'ul that indicates the time or the place where something is happening. Fihi. Yani maf'ulun fi. It's happening in this time. Al-yawma. Limadha al-mudarrisu ghadabanu al-yawma? Limadha means what? Why is the mudarris, the teacher, ghadaban, angry al-yawma, today? Why is the teacher angry today? No answer here. Could be 101 different reasons, right? Perhaps he's angry because some of you didn't do your homework. That could be a reason for the teacher to become angry. Or perhaps he's angry because some of you are absent. You didn't come to class today, even though you can sit at home and attend the class. Some people still didn't show up, right? So what reason is the teacher angry, for what reason? Allahu A'lam. I don't know. But in any case, I'm sure there's a good reason for him being angry. I know he's not angry with any of you because you're here and you also have done your homework. Right? Naam. Inshallah. Alright, so in this sentence, what we're going to look at, what is ghadabanu? Yani, it's a word that's mamnu min as-sarf. It doesn't take tanween. Let's go on to number four. Al-kubu mal'anu. Al-kubu Mal'anu. Yani the cup is full. Yani it's full. Somebody filled it up with juice or milk or water or something. Halal and good. Tayyib. Okay. Let's go to page 50. Okay, that's the last exercise for the first part of the lesson that we actually were hoping to have done last week, but we didn't make it. So let's look at the new words at the end of this first part of the lesson. Okay, al-kalimatu al-jadidatu, the new words. The first word, let's go across. The first word, al-lughatu, means what? Language. Second word, shahirun, means famous. Al-madinatu means the city. Al-ta'at-ta'iru. I'm sorry, with yani the word begins with the sun letter. Ta. Al-ta'iru means the bird. Al-yawmu means the day or today. Al-yawmu. We're going to see this word come again at the end of the vocabulary with instead of dhamma with fatah. So the one with dhamma may be the mubtada, that's why it's marfoon. Or it could be the khabar, that's why it's marfoon. But the one with fatah on the end, that means it's the maf'oolun fihi. Yani, dharf az-zaman. The adverb that indicates zaman, time. Alright? So, al-yawmu, today. Next word going across, kaslanu. With a single dhamma, mamnu min sarf, means lazy. Going down to the second line, or the third line, from the right, jaw'anu means hungry. Atashanu means thirsty. Mal'anu means full. Going down to the last line, ghadbanu means angry. And all of these words, from kaslan to ghadban, are all ending with a single dhamma because they're all mamnu min as-sarf. Al-usfuru means the sparrow, yani a small bird. Al-yawma means today, but here it's talking about the time in which something is happening. Maf'ulun fihi, as opposed to maf'ulun bihi, yani the maf'ul, that is the object of the action here. Maf'ulun fihi, it is the maf'ul that tells us the time in which something is happening. Maf'ulun fihi, or the place where it is at. Maf'ulun fihi. Both of them maf'ulun fihi. Dharf al-zaman, related to time. Dharf al-makan, related to place. So dharf al-zaman would be words like al-yawm, today. Or ghadan, yesterday. Or amsi, ghadan, tomorrow. Or amsi, yesterday. Dharf al-makan would be words like fawqa, above. Tahta, below. Amama, in front of. Khalfa, behind. Alright? That indicate place, makan. Dharf al-zaman indicates time. Okay, this is the end of the vocabulary. There are a lot of words missing from this Arabic vocabulary box that came in the English, like al-inkiliziya, sa'abun, al-qahira, limada, al-kub. These words came in the lesson, they are not in the box here. Al-fakiha, mujtahid, al-arabiya, sahla. So please also go back and look at both vocabulary lists, the English in the English key and the Arabic key at the end of the first part of the lesson, because yani there are certain words in the English key that are not here, and there are certain words here that are not in the English key. Like all of these words, jaw'an, atshan, mal'an, are not in the English key. So please pay attention to the fact that the two vocabulary lists together, the English key and the Arabic key, have to be combined together for the vocabulary for this lesson. Okay, let's go on now to the second part of the lesson that was really for this week. Okay, and it's not very long. The text is only any equivalent to about one page or a little more, and there are only three exercises. Okay, so let's try to look at what remains of this lesson in the time that remains. We're on page 50, lesson number 9, Ba, yani part 2, the second part of lesson 9. The Arabic text for this part begins with Aina al-mudarrisu. Aina al-mudarrisu. Meaning, Aina is a question word, right? It's from the Asma al-Istifham, the nouns that are used to ask a question. Okay, previously in the beginning of this level. We had men, and we had ma, and we had hamzatul istifham, and since then we've had other words like limada and aina, and more words for asking questions. Okay, so aina means where is the mudarris? Aina al mudarrisu? Where is the mudarris? Second line, huwa fil fasli. He is in the classroom. Next line, wa aina al mudarrisu al jadidu. And where is the mudarris al jadid, the new teacher? Here I want to note, where is the new teacher? Yani, al-mudarris is the man'ut, the word being qualified by new. Al-jadid is the not, the word that's qualifying it. And we said previously that they have to agree in being masculine or feminine, so mudarris is masculine, al-jadid is masculine. And also, we're going to see in this part of the lesson that they have to agree in being marfoon or majroon. Here, al-mudarris is marfoon with dhamma, Al-Jadid is marfu'un with Dhamma. And also we're going to see in this part of the lesson, we didn't see in the first part, we're going to see that some of the words that are being qualified, the man'ut, some of them are going to be definite. So we have to pay attention that Al-Mudarrisu here is definite with Alif Lam, so the not describing it also has to be definite with Alif Lam. Alright, so we see Al-Mudarrisu Al-Jadidu. Where is the Mudarris al-Jadid, the new teacher? Answer, huwa. Huwa is a pronoun referring back to what? The dhamir always refers back to something. It's referring back to mudarris. So mudarris is masculine, so we have to use the masculine third person singular. Mudarris is singular, so we have to use the masculine third person singular pronoun, huwa. Yani if it was al-mudarrisatu, yani female teacher, we would say hiya. But here it is al-mudarrisu, masculine, so we say huwa. He is عند المدير. هو عند المدير. He is with the مدير. Now here I want to note that عند means with, and مع also means with, but يعني their meanings are not the same. So عند means he is with the مدير in the place that the مدير is known to be in. يعني where is the مدير normally? In his office. So عند suggests a limited, restricted being with somebody in a particular place. Whereas we'll see later on that ma doesn't have that restriction. If you said ma al-mudir, then that means he might be with him anywhere. In his office, in the marketplace, at home, in the zoo, anywhere. Okay? So I just want to note that. We're going to come across this in a little while. And we'll be seeing it shortly, the difference between, maybe in the next lesson, between anda and ma. So in any case, anda here, the meaning that we're using it for here is being with. And it also has another meaning, yani possessing or having, owning something, okay? We'll see that in the next lesson, I think. But for now, عند, we want to note that عند means being with the مدير, yani specifically in the place that he's known to be in, that is in his office, not just anywhere. هو عند المدير. Where is the new teacher? He is with the مدير. What we understand from that? He is with the مدير in his office. أين الطالب الجديد? أين الطالب الجديد. Where is the طالب الجديد, the new student? Again, الطالب is the man'ut, the word being qualified. And we will say here that we have to pay attention to some of the things that it's going to be in agreement with it. It's going to follow the man'ut in the sentence, and it's also going to follow it in being masculine or feminine, and in being definite or indefinite, and being marfu'un or majrurun. So here we see that at-talibu is mudhakkar, masculine. Al-jadidu is mudhakkar, masculine. At-talibu is definite, yani ma'arifa. Therefore, al-jadid is also definite, ma'arifa. And at-talibu, yani, is marfu'un with dhamma. Al-jadidu is marfu'un with dhamma. The main thing we want to pay attention to here, though, is that from the previous part of the lesson, At-talib is masculine, al-jadid is masculine, at-talibu is definite with alif lam, al-jadid is definite with alif lam. And also we want to look at, yani the i'rab, is it marfu'un with dhamma or majrur with kasra and so on. Next sentence. Okay, that in reference to the previous sentence, ayn at-talib al-jadid, where is the new student? Answer, dhahaba ila al-maktabati. Dhahaba ila al-maktabati. Dhahaba means what? He went, as opposed to kharaja, means he went out. Zahaba, he went. Ila al-maktabati, he went to the maktaba. What's the maktaba? Yani the library. Or another meaning of al-maktaba is a bookstore. Here we want to make a note that the word that looks just like al-maktaba, but it doesn't have tarmabuta on the end, al-maktabu, al-maktab without tarmabuta, means an office, the office, or the desk. Al-maktab means office. Al-maktaba with tarmabuta means the library or bookstore. Okay, so this is al-maktaba, means the library or the bookstore. Be careful that you don't get it confused with al-maktabu, which means the office or desk. ذهب إلى المكتبة, he went to the library. Next sentence. من ذلك الرجل الطويل الذي خرج الآن من المدرسة. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here and make a note. يعني, I forgot that there is also an English key for the second part of this lesson. It's a very brief English key, but there is an English key, and now I see the word alladhi, and we want to pay attention to this word. It came in the English key. The mention of it came in the English key, so I'm going to stop here with this sentence. من ذلك الرجل الطويل الذي خرج الآن من المدرسة. Okay, I'm sorry for this any oversight on my half. Before I read the text, I should have read the second part of the English key, which is on page 23. Part B, page 23 of the English key. It says, in this part we learn. English key. Please look at the English key. Part B. And by the way, that was part of our homework, so I'm sure you already read it. But Annie, we just want to go over it quickly. Part B. In this part we learn four matters. Number one. Adjective qualifying a definite noun. Okay, we already talked about it, but it came in this part of the lesson. Aina al-mudarrisu al-jadidu. Where's the new teacher? So this is the first thing. Yani the adjective that's qualifying a definite noun has to also be definite. Al-mudarrisu is definite. Al-jadidu has to be definite. Second thing, and that's what I stopped on here. Number two, relative pronoun. Alladhi. Relative pronoun. Al-ismu al-mawsulu. The relative pronoun. Alladhi. If it refers to a human being, it is translated as who. And if it refers to an animal or an inanimate thing, it's referred to as which. And they gave us two examples here. One where it's referring to a human being and one where it's referring to an inanimate thing. Okay, the first example they gave us. Ar-rajulu alladhi. So alladhi is referring back to ar-rajulu, which is a man. So we're going to translate it as who. Whereas in the next sentence, al-baytu alladhi. Alladhi here is referring to the house, which is an inanimate thing. Therefore, we're not going to translate it as the house who. We're going to translate it as the house which. Okay, so this is very important. The relative pronoun. If it's referring to a human being, we're going to say who. If it's referring to an inanimate thing, we're going to say which. That's the first point. Now I also want to go back and I want to read those two sentences a little bit more carefully. Okay? Ar-rajulu. Notice that it's in bold print. And then alladhi kharaja min al-masjidi al-ana is not in bold print. And then tajirun shahirun is in bold print. And this is to make us to pay attention to the three words that are in bold print. Ar-rajulu, tajirun, shahirun. And this, the note here that we want to pay attention to is that alladhi, the relative pronoun, it is a word that is used to introduce the relative clause. It's used to introduce a clause that is going to be attached to it. The words that follow it. Kharaja min al-masjidi. Okay, the relative pronoun is used to introduce a relative clause. And the relative pronoun has reference to the subject of the sentence. Alladhi is related to what? The subject of the sentence. Ar-rajulu. And we already said that it's going to be translated as who, in this case because it's referring to a human being. Otherwise, it would be translated as which if it was referring to a thing like al-bayt. The next thing I want to say is alladhi is always followed by this relative clause. Yani alladhi is always going to be followed by some words that's called the relative clause. Sillatul mawsul. Sillatu with sad, lam with shadda, and ta marbuta. Sillatu al mawsul. Yani, that's called, that the meaning of that is a relative clause. So there's a relative pronoun, that's alladhi, and then there's a clause, a group of words that's going to follow it. Alladhi is referring back to the subject of the sentence, and the relative clause is a description of that subject, or additional information about that subject, okay? So, what is this alladhi kharaja min al-masjid? Alladhi is the relative pronoun, right, that is related back to the subject of the sentence, and the rest of those words that's connected to alladhi are the relative clause that describe that subject or give us additional information about the subject. So the basic sentence without alladhi, the relative pronoun, and without kharaja min al-masjid al-ana, the relative clause, the basic sentence, which is a complete sentence without that, is the bold letters. Ar-rajulu tajirun shahirun. The man is a famous merchant. That's a complete sentence. But if I want to add some additional information to describe ar-rajul, not an adjective, but a complete phrase that gives us more information about the, then we're going to use the relative pronoun alladhi. Ar-rajulu, the one, the man who, and then I'm giving you more information about him. Who what? Who kharaja, went out, min al-masjidi, from the masjid, al-ana, just now. So the man with the relative pronoun and the relative clause, the additional information, yani the man who went out of the masjid just now, what about him? He is a tajirun, merchant, shahirun, famous. Okay, so ar-rajulu is the mubtada, tajirun is the khabar. The man is a merchant, that's the khabar. And shahirun is a not describing tajir, a famous merchant. All the rest of those words, alladhi, and the phrase that comes after it, the clause that comes after it, the rest of those words, that is the relative pronoun and the relative clause. That's just extra information about the subject ar-rajulu. The man who what? Who just went out of the masjid. That's extra information. If I said the man is a famous merchant, you might say, which man? The one who just came out of the masjid. Okay? So that's called a relative pronoun and a relative clause. The relative pronoun is al-ismu al-mawsool, and the relative clause is the sillatu al-mawsool. Perhaps I'll give, provide you with some information with the spelling of these words to make sure that everybody has the spelling and everything correctly. Okay, so again, the relative pronoun, alladhi. This is the masculine singular form. There's also a feminine form that we'll be seeing later on, allati, and there's also dual and plural forms. This is the masculine singular form, alladhi. Soon we will see the feminine singular form, allati. And the same rules will apply to allati as applied to alladhi. It's a relative pronoun. It's referring back to the subject of the sentence in order to bring us additional information in the relative clause about the subject, okay? The subject is ar-rajulu. The khabar is tajirun. Alladhi kharaja min al-masjid al-ana is the relative pronoun and relative clause that gives us extra information or a description of the subject of the sentence. Okay, the second sentence that they gave us is in reference to an inanimate thing. Al-baytu alladhi amama al-masjidi lil-imami. Yani, the house which is in front of the mosque belongs to the imam. Same thing we want to say about this sentence. Al-baytu is the subject. Lil-imami is the khabar. That's a complete sentence. The house belongs to the imam. If I want additional information or further description of the house, I might use a relative pronoun connected to the relative clause. Okay, that's extra information. The house belongs to the imam. Which house? The house alladhi, which? Alladhi amam al-masjidi. The house which is in front of the masjid. The house which is in front of the masjid belongs to the imam. Okay, the original sentence, mubtada and khabar, al-baytu lil-imami. The house belongs to the imam. Alladhi, the relative pronoun, and the words that follow it are just additional information, further description of the subject, al-bayt. Which house? The house which is in front of the masjid, khabar, belongs to the imam. Okay, that's the second point, very, very important point in this lesson number 9. Part B, please understand, what is the ism mawsool, relative pronoun, and what is the relative clause, silatu al-mawsool. These two things are what? The relative pronoun and the relative clause are extra information that tell us something further about the subject of the sentence. Point number three, and very, very briefly, in this English key on page 23, part B of the English key, says, note that when li, lam with kasra, is used with a noun having alif lam, the alif of the alif lam is omitted. So you have a word like al imam. The word begins with alif lam, al imam. If you want to use the preposition li with that, the alif of the alif lam is omitted. So you don't say li al imam, but you just say lil imami. Okay, li is a preposition, so the word that follows it is going to be ism majrur. It's going to be majrur in the genitive case. Primary sign of a word in the genitive case is kasra. But the point we want to say here is that when li is used with a word that begins with alif lam, the alif is going to be left out in writing. It's not going to be written and it's not going to be pronounced. Okay, so you have al-imamu, it becomes with li, not li al-imam, it becomes lil-imami. Al-mudarrisu, it doesn't become li al-mudarrisu, but rather becomes lil-mudarrisi, lil-mudarrisi. Okay, li is a preposition, so it makes the word become majrur, taking kasra. But the point we want to note here is that the alif lam loses its alif. The fourth and final point of this second part of the English key for lesson 9 is the word inda, which means with. The noun following it has kasra. For example, al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri. The teacher is with the mudir, with the headmaster, the principal. Yani in his office. What we want to note here is, number one, that the word following inda is going to be majrur with kasra. Inda is a dharf, an adverb of makan, of place. Just like we had previously, amama and khalfa, in front of and behind, or tahta, underneath. Well, likewise, inda is a dharf. As al-makan, an adverb of place. Okay, so it's telling us something about where the teacher is at. He is with the headmaster, with the principal. The second thing we want to note about the adverb of place, like amama and khalfa and inda, is that the word following it is going to take kasra. Why? Because the word following the dharf, al-makan, the word following it is always going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. Okay, so this comes under the idafa. The adverbs of place, the noun following them, are always going to be the second part of the idafa construction. They're going to always take kasra, or at least, yani the primary sign is going to be kasra, unless it's a word that has a secondary sign. Okay, so this is the fourth point of the second part of the English key for lesson 9. That is the word inda. It's an adverb of place. Dharf al-makan. Just like amama and khalfa that we had previously, the word following it is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Okay, that's the end of the English key. Oh, I'm sorry. No, there are vocabulary words. So let's quickly look at the vocabulary words. We're going to go down the column, right? In the right-hand column, الثانويّة means secondary school or high school. Al-Waziru means a minister in the government, like interior minister, foreign minister. Haddun, with shadda on the del. Haddun means something that is sharp. As-Suqu means the marketplace, yani where there's a collection of stores. Indonesia means Indonesia. As-Shari'u means the street, and it also has another meaning, the one who yani legislates, gives the law, the sharia, the legislator. Going to column B on the left side. Al-Maktabatu means library or bookstore. Al-Ana means now or just now. This is a dharf az-zaman, an adverb of time. It's telling us the time when something happens, just now. Hunaka means there, as opposed to huna means here. Al-Mustawsaf with saad. First letter is seen, the last one is sawed. Next to the last letter is sawed. Al-mus with seen, stawsaf with sawed. Means a clinic or a small hospital. Al-mirwahatu means the fan. Yani when it's hot like right now. Al-Kuwaitu is a country, Kuwait, in the Gulf area. Okay, this is the English key for part B. Okay, going back to the lesson now, we had started reading the Arabic text for part B, right? The Arabic text for part B, and we read halfway through it just to keep us in place where we were at. I'm going to just read it quickly. We already read it and translated. Ain al-mudarrisu on page 50, part B of lesson 9. Ain al-mudarrisu, where is the teacher? Huwa fil fasli, he is in the classroom. Wa ain al-mudarrisu al-jadidu, and where's the new teacher? Huwa ind al-mudiri, he is with the headmaster, the principal, yani in his office. Ain al-talibu al-jadidu, where is al-talibu al-jadidu, where's the new student? Dhahaba ila al-maktabati, he went to the library or the bookstore. Now we came to the sentence that we were upon. Man dhalika ar-rajulu at-tawilu alladhi kharaja al-ana min al-madrasati. Man, okay? Man is an ism istifham, a noun that's used to ask a question. It means who. But this who is the question who, as opposed to alladhi, which is a relative pronoun that means who, or it might mean which. Somebody asked a question during the week when they were going over their homework. What's the difference between men, which means who, and alladhi, which means who? Well, men is a question word. It's an interrogative. It's used to ask a question. Whereas alladhi is a relative pronoun. It's a pronoun that's referring back to the subject that's used to introduce the relative clause, which is extra information about the subject. Okay, so alladhi, the one who, yani this is, yani gonna, it's a pronoun that's used to bring us additional information, whereas men is a noun that's used to ask a question. Okay, so we can translate this as man dhalika ar-rajul at-tawil, who is that tall man? Alladhi, who kharaj al-ana min al-madrasati, who just now came out of the school. Okay, so both words are translated as who. One is a question word, the other is a relative pronoun introducing a relative clause, which brings more information about the subject. Yani, who is that tall man? Which tall man? The one who, alladhi, the one who, kharaj al-ana, just now came out, min al-madrasati, from the school. Okay, I hope it is clear, the difference between men, which is an interrogative question word, yani used to ask a question about who is this, and alladhi is a relative pronoun, and it's a pronoun that is related back to the subject of the sentence to bring us, yani to introduce more information about that subject of the sentence. Okay, man dhalika ar-rajulu, who is that man? At-tawilu. At-tawilu is definite because ar-rajulu is definite. It's masculine because ar-rajulu is masculine. It's marfu'un with dhamma because ar-rajulu is marfu'un with dhamma. These are the three things in this lesson we have to look at. Is the adjective going to have to be masculine or feminine? Is it going to be definite or indefinite? Is it going to be marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun? In accordance with what the word that is qualifying the man'ut is the not going to be, yani any in these three areas, it has to be in agreement with the man'ut, definite or indefinite, masculine or feminine, yani nominative, genitive, or accusative. Okay? So that's a question. Man dhalika ar-rajul at-tawil, who is that tall man? Alladhi, the one who, kharaj al-ana min al-madrasati, who just came out of the school. Answer, huwa al-mudiru al-jadidu, he is the new headmaster, the new principal. Again, al-mudir is the man'ut, it's masculine, therefore al-jadid is masculine. It's definite with alif lam, therefore al-jadid is definite. And it's marfu'un with dhamma, therefore al-jadid is marfu'un with dhamma. Next question, waman al-waladu, waman al-waladu, we're going to join the noon to the alif lam by putting a kasra on men. Remember we said that men, when it's followed by alif lam, or any word that begins with hamzatul wasl, we have to add a kasra so that we eliminate the two letters with sukoon coming back to back. Iltiqa sakinain. We want to eliminate this, so we're going to add kasra to men. Man al-waladu as-saghiru alladhi kharaj al-ana min al-fasli. Men, who? This is the question word, who? Is al-walad, the boy, As-saghiru, the small boy. Al-waladu is definite. As-saghiru is definite. Al-waladu is, yani, masculine. As-saghiru is masculine. Al-waladu is marfoon with dhamma. As-saghiru, the not has to be marfoon with dhamma. وَمَنَ الْوَلَدُ الصَّغِيرُ And who is the small boy? Which small boy? الَّذِي The one who خَرَجَ الْآنَ Just came out مِنَ الْفَصْلِ From the classroom. Answer هُوَ ابْنُ الْمُدِيرِ الْجَدِيدِ هُوَ ابْنُ الْمُدِيرِ الْجَدِيدِ He is the son of the مُدِير الْجَدِيدِ The new headmaster, the new principal. He is the son of the new principal. Okay, here what do we want to note? Is that Ibn al-Mudiri. This is an idafa construction. Ibn is the mudaf, and Mudir is the mudafun ilayhi, and that's why it's majroor, because it's mudafun ilayhi majroor. Al-Jadidu is the not describing al-Mudir. So, al-Mudir is masculine, al-Jadid is masculine. Al-Mudir is definite with alif lam, al-Jadid is definite with alif lam. Al-Mudir is majroor with kasra, because it's mudafun ilayhi majroor. And therefore, al-jadid is also majroor with kasra. Turn to page 51. Continuing with the dialogue, with the Arabic text, part B, lesson 9, page 51, top of the page. Liman tilka sayyaratu al-jamilatu. Liman tilka sayyaratu al-jamilatu. Yani to whom belongs? Liman means to whom belongs, right? Tilka as-sayyara, that car, al-jamila, that beautiful car. Okay, to whom belongs that beautiful car? Again, as-sayyaratu is the man'ut, it's feminine, so al-jamila is feminine. It's definite with alif lam, so al-jamila is definite, and it's marfoon with dhamma, so al-jamila is marfoon with dhamma. To whom belongs that beautiful car? Hiya lil-mudiri al-jadidi. Here is the pronoun referring back to as-sayyara. As-sayyara is singular and it's feminine, so we have to use the singular third person feminine pronoun here. Here, yani as-sayyara al-jamila, here it lil-mudiri belongs to the principal al-jadidi, the new principal. It belongs to the new principal. Again, yani al-mudir, yani it is Majroor with kasra because of the preposition li. So since it's majroor, al-jadid also has to be majroor. Al-mudir is masculine, al-jadid is masculine. Al-mudir is definite with alif lam, so al-jadid has to be definite with alif lam, except that al-mudir lost its alif. Because why? Because we said the preposition li, lam with kasra. Whenever it's added to a word that has alif lam, we lose in writing and in pronunciation the alif from alif lam. So instead of saying li al-mudiri, we say lil-mudiri al-jadidi. Next line. Liman hadha al-kitabu al-kabiru. Answer. This is another question. Ahuwa lil-mudarrisi. Yani liman is a question. To whom belongs hadha al-kitab, this book with a not al-kabir, this big book. To whom belongs this big book? Ahuwa. Second part of the question. Ahuwa lil-mudarrisi. Is it, yani this big book, is it belonging to the teacher? Does it belong to the teacher? Again, here what we want to say is al-kitab, hadha al-kitab, al-kitab, here is the man'ut, al-kabir is the not describing it, so it is definite, it is marfoon with dhamma, and it's masculine, like the man'ut. Does it belong to the teacher? La. Huwa lit-talibi al-jadidi. No, it belongs to the Talib al-jadid, the new student. It belongs to the new student. Again, al-talib loses its alif lam because of li. So it, instead of saying li al-talib, we just say lit-talibi. Al-jadid is the not describing al-talib. So it has alif lam, it has kasra, and it's masculine like al-talib. Aina al-mil'aqatu al-saghiratu. Aina Al-mil'aqatu al-saghiratu. Where is the small spoon? The small spoon. Again, here al-mil'aqatu is definite. Al-saghiru is definite. Al-mil'aqatu is feminine. And as-saghiratu is feminine. Al-mil'aqatu is marfu'un with dhamma. As-saghiratu is marfu'un with dhamma. Where's the small spoon? Here, fil-kubi. It is in the glass or the cup. The glass, it looks like here. Here, fil-kubi. It is in the glass. Here is referring back to al-mil'aqa, which is feminine, singular. Here, fil-kubi. Ayn al-kursiyu al-maksuru. Where's the kursi that is maksur? Where's the broken chair? Again, al-kursi is the man'ut, the word being qualified, that's being described. And its adjective, the not, al-maksur, must agree with it. It follows it in the sentence, and it follows it in being definite with alif lam, it follows it in being marfu'un with dhamma, and it follows it in being mudhakkar, masculine. The last line, where's the broken chair? Huwa hunaka. It is over there. It is over there. Okay, I think that we will not be doing these three exercises for part B. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Rather than to race through them, three of them, maybe we can do one. We have 5 minutes remaining, inshallah. Okay, so we'll do the first exercise, and then for homework, inshallah, you should have already written out these exercises. So for homework, just review these exercises from part B, and then the next part of the lesson will be, and also review the vocabulary and the grammar box at the end of the lesson. And then, and for homework, the second part of the homework assignment for next week is going to be what? It's going to be the new lesson. Please review the English key for the new lesson number 10. Okay, there are a number of points, maybe like 9 different points in that English key. It's 3 pages long, plus the vocabulary. So please, for homework, review the English key for lesson number 10, and then review the dialogue for lesson number 10, which is on page 54 and 55, and the top of 56, a little bit lengthy. And perhaps also at least the first exercise. It's a somewhat lengthy exercise. So at least the first exercise. For homework next week, preview the English key for lesson 10, the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson, and at least the first exercise. Okay, so next week, inshallah, we're going to do the exercises that remain from lesson 9, and we're going to start the new lesson number 10. Okay, in the 2 or 3 minutes remaining, inshallah, we're just going to do this first exercise on page 51 for lesson 9, part B. It says, Ikra Waktub. Ikra Waktub. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. There are 10 sentences in this exercise. No need to start. I don't think we can even finish 10 sentences. So we'll stop here, inshallah. Okay? So, again, I'm going to just take a minute, Yani, out of the remaining time and remind you of the importance of doing the homework assignments. You don't have to do them according to our proposed schedule. You can do them however you want to do them, but I implore you to do them gradually, not all in one day, sitting down for 3 hours or 4 hours, but try to do them over the course of the week. Yani, maybe some days you have more time than other days, so you might do a little more of the exercises on that day than you do on another day, but please try to take out 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, every single day of the week, and do some of the exercises. The schedule, the proposed schedule for homework assignments that we have, Yani, that we're offering every week, is just to help you, to give you, Yani, some guidance on how you can divide up the exercises so that you do a little bit every day. Otherwise, you can do them at your own pace, however you like, but please try to do them gradually, not all at one time. Also, please try to write out all of the exercises, even the ones that don't say write. Read, write, and translate, and look at the grammatical points and the new vocabulary that came in those exercises. Make sure you know them well. Please memorize the vocabulary. And please, Yani, reread over and over and over again the grammatical points in the English key until, like, you master them, until it becomes easy. If you had to explain them, you would have no difficulty in doing so. Okay, so next week, inshallah, we're going to start with the exercises for part B. We're going to do those exercises 1, 2, and 3, and then we're going to go into the new lesson number 10, English key, Arabic text, and at least the first exercise, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. إن شاء الله we're going to take a 1-minute break before we start the next.